Welcome, Longhorn Nation, to another edition of the Recruiting Intel, brought to you by the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Justin Wells, but more importantly, my sidekick, my co-pilot, Coach Dub, Charlie Williams, is in the house. Always good to see your face, Charlie. How you living?
I'm living good, man. Life is good. How are you?
Man, I'm blessed. Kids out of school, so now I got a whole bunch more responsibilities during the day. What about your girls?
They're in school still, so I got a little bit of a break. I'll take it too, trust me.
Yeah, I completely understand. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Recruiting Intel. Be sure and check us out at InsideTexas.com. It really is the best time to sign up right now. The end of May, we got SEC spring meetings. Joe Cook is on scene in Destin. We're nailing it out on the recruiting side just because official visit season is right around the corner. For a lot of kids, it starts this weekend. We want to kind of talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the impact Alan Clark's been making. That's the new edge coach they brought over from Ohio State, and he has made an impression. Handful of guys that I saw on the road. I went road tripping late last week to Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana, and we'll talk about a few of those guys. And then we're going to finish up with a little bit of stuff that you've got warming up. I've got something coming up as soon as the show's over. You got something coming up, some good stuff that I'm going to talk about with 2026 O-linemen that I know Texas fans want to know about. But let's start with Alan Clark. You know, Charlie, it seems like he is a recruiter's recruiter.
Yeah,
this is a guy that, you know, all these guys in some sense have a talent at building relationships and developing these kids. Some of them are a little bit more advanced. Some of them use a little bit more energy, enthusiasm, whatever you call it. Whatever Alan Clark is selling, people are buying.
Yeah.
They love this guy's energy. They love his direction and the way he handles himself and how he promotes the University of Texas. And, you know, from your little bit interaction there and can what you can tell from recruits you're talking to, how is Alan Clark making this impact so soon?
Yeah. He's authentic. He's real. He's talking to you without the logo. You don't see the logo when you see Alan Clark. Now, we know he coaches for University of Texas, right, which has a great brand, great recognition. But they see Coach Alan Clark without him being the actual coach, right? They see him as a true person that they can relate to, not just the players, other coaches, especially in DFW area, the parents too. They feel like they can just relate to this guy, buy it. He feels like family when he comes to talk to these kids and these families. And so he's just hitting it off from the start because he's real about building real relationships. And we spell it R-E-A-L relationships, right? That's what he does best. But he's just a genuine guy. He's not just selling football. He's selling life. He's selling real life because he's lived it. He's played. He's coaching. He's developed guys. So he can talk about his track record, his resume, but he's authentic when he does it. He's just not selling a kid on a dream and a hope. He's talking real life stuff, and they can just relate to it.
You know, I remember defensive lineman transfer Hero Canoe when he came into Austin. One of his first tweets when Clark was hired was, you know, you stole one. That guy's going to do it. That guy's going to get it done. And so far, I talk to edge guys all the time. It's not just edge guys. Coach Clark is helping with a lot of those guys in the southeastern region. That's kind of his background, so to speak. And he's just been big on building those guys out. And everywhere I go, he's mentioned. And it seems like he's having that big impact. You got to think PK loves it too, because PK doesn't have to be on the road as much. When you got Coach Clark beating the streets, PK can hang back in the crib and kind of do and get everything organized in the ATX. Now it's refreshing. But you know what else? I think he has something to sell, and it's the edge position at Texas. It's that room. When you look at that room, you know, when I talked to some of the guys last week, some of the players, when they saw the scrimmages, that's what they're talking about. Colin Simmons and Ethan Burke and Zena Umiozulu and Trey Moore, like these are guys that are all getting mentioned. And so he has something backing him up. Texas may have one of the best edge rooms in the country, you know, coming in this year. That's got to help when you're like, hey, let's turn on the tape and you see Colin Simmons flashing off the edge.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a great selling point. Look, and I know for a fact they're bringing up film. I know we had a couple guys go on campus and visit. You talk about Landon Barnes. What tape are they showing? His former teammate, Colin Simmons. So a great selling point, a great selling tool. Everybody wants to be the next Colin Simmons. The kid tore it up as a freshman. You know, he has two more years left. I just put it out there. Everybody knows that he's the best, probably best player on the team, offense or defense. Let me not say offense because we got Arch Manning on the other side. I don't want to
mention Trevor Goosby.
I got my Arch mentioned in there, so hey, there you go. But it's a great selling point to have Colin Simmons, you know, be the showroom model for everybody to follow behind.
I like that showroom model. You know who else really likes that? I guarantee you Colin likes that. He's definitely on that. Hey, I was in Tupelo, Mississippi, and I went and saw this kid named Jerelyn McCoy. Have you ever watched any of his tape?
I have. Absolute animal on the field.
Okay, 6'6", 245, 250. Apparently, this kid's been getting offers since he was in eighth grade. He was a dominant starter as a freshman on the Tupelo High School football team. To give you an example, an idea, that's the biggest high school in Mississippi. They have almost 2,300 students there. That's the biggest school. You see that blue field? That is a legitimate blue field. It's actually two-tone blue now. Between each, you know, like in that, where you see the 35, it's like a navy blue next to a regular blue. Like, it is a unique Boise State looking field, by the way. I wanted to make that for the Golden Wave. But, you know, McCoy's a kid that I think this is, you know, Texas got in the mix a little bit late here. They jumped in, you know, earlier this year. And Alan Clark has been – he spearheaded this whole thing. And he is literally – you know, people know McCoy because – Texas fans because he took out A&M's official visit and being on the top list for Texas. So he already endeared himself to Longhorn fans. But, you know, just from watching his tape, tell me what you think this guy, how he would fit on the 40 acres.
Yeah, look, and I know this is sophomore film, right? He looks very impressive as a sophomore, like he's learned the position, but he's still dominating. Just see some recent stuff, especially for him from camps and some of his junior's season film, man.
Yeah.
I'm not putting this title on the kid. I'm not going to say he's the next, but he reminds me of a young Jadeveon Clowney. He's just big. He's explosive like that. If anybody's seen any of his film or camp's film, he's just overpowering guys. He's so quick with a quick first step. He has a long reach. He doesn't let offensive linemen get into his frame because he has such these gigantic long arms that he can keep people off of his body, right? And so you combine it with his athletic ability, his quick burst, man, he's just a guy you put on the field. Like, you don't know where you want to put him. I don't know what he's going to grow into. If he stays around the 245-ish, he can play edge. If he grows a little bit, he can play a three tech or whatever the case. I don't know. But he's just a dominant defensive lineman.
This and his recruitment, in summary, is essentially it's coming down to Texas and Florida, in my opinion. I think those are the two schools to beat. He used to be committed to LSU. He reopened his commitment earlier in the year. And so I think, you know, I was figuring Ole Miss might be in the mix. But right now, just by catching up with his family and with sources, it looks like it's going to come down to Texas and Florida. He's got an official visit to Florida, I believe, this weekend. He's going to he changed his OB to Texas for that first weekend in June, the 6th through the 8th. And so the Horns are going to shoot their shot here. This is going to be a recruitment that, you know, you're going to have to recruit through the whistle because I think a lot of teams are going to stay the course on this guy. But also with Jerelyn, this is an NIL recruitment. This is an example of a kid where NIL is going to absolutely change his life forever and for the good. And so that is something that I find endearing when I'm on the road and I come across a lot of these small towns and things of that sort. And I think NIL is going to be tremendous for this kid. And so unbelievable family. His oldest sister just graduated on Friday. And they're happy and they're excited and they're ready for Jerelyn to do it in the next round. Jake Kroll is our next kid. We went down to – let's go down to South Florida. I don't know if – where is Bradenton? That's not South Florida, is it? Florida, maybe. I don't know where Bradenton is, but that's home of the IMG Academy. Yeah. And that's what we call a stockyard of football prospects. And Jake Kroll is exactly that guy. Here's the thing about Kroll, too, that we like. He's got an official visit set for Texas. He is unbelievably explosive. Now, in his regular, you know, before he transferred, he played, I believe, at a smaller school. He gets to IMG and absolutely destroys. I was talking to On3's EJ Holland about it the other day. He actually saw him in person twice this year, and he said he absolutely dominated both games. Absolute, you know, just monster stud. What do you like about Kroll? This guy's a little different than Jerelyn. What are you seeing here besides maybe a little bit of a Jared Allen mixed with a TJ Watt?
Yeah, definitely. Man. It's just his get off. It's amazing. You see the bend when he comes off the edge. Like, he has an array of moves already. He has some power, some strength behind those things too. So, man, this is a powerful edge rusher. I don't know what side of the ball you want to put him on, a weak side, a strong side, whatever, and he's going to get out to the quarterback. I feel like he has a big enough body he can play the run, too, but you kind of look at him, and these kids in high school cannot block him. I was going to call him Baby Bosa, but he doesn't have the height of the Bosa brothers, but, man, he has some Jared Allen's kind of style to him. I like him. He plays with such energy and passion, too, man. One of the first clips, his helmet comes off, and he's still out there yapping and going at it. That's the type of guy I want on my defense. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No, yeah, the Jason Witten style. Let the helmet pop off and start coming down the pipe. Look, you know, Texas has done a really good job here. I asked him, you know, he talks to Allen Clark, but he talks to PK a lot, and he FaceTimes with Sark. And I thought that was substantial. I think that's going to – that really, you know, got his attention. He's been on campus already once this spring. He'll be back in June for his official visit. I believe he's looking at like a July, August date. I'm trying to remember exactly, but – he's one that Texas has been consistent. They went down there. Allen went down there to see him about 2 months ago, maybe not even that long ago, maybe a month ago. And they've been clicking. It's been really good. We got one more guy on this edge board we want to talk about, and this guy might be the best of all of them. And, of course, he commits to Oregon last month. And that's Sierra Canyon out in California's Richard Wesley. Now, usually when a kid reclassifies, it's away from the ball. Because the closer you are to ball, the harder it is for you to make an impact early in college, just because of the size, the physical, the strength, and all that kind of stuff. Richard Wesley, I don't have any doubts about. This kid looks like a ready-made college player. He's got an unbelievable frame, unbelievable first step. Everybody in the country wants him. He commits to Oregon almost a month ago and then immediately sets an official visit to Texas.
Yeah.
What was the other ones? I think we got Texas, Ohio State. Yeah, right. A&M was to be determined. And then, Ohio State. Guess which weekend he's coming in for Ohio State?
Oh, wow.
When Texas plays them, first weekend of the season, when Arch Manning and the Horns come to Columbus, he's going to be at Ohio State there. This is a guy that, like I said, he's committed. He's solid to Oregon, but he's going to keep his options open. And I think that's smart recruiting. What about this kid that really stands out to you?
Yeah, I know he looks more like a buck to me. He has a bigger frame. I think he'll probably carry more weight in college. But, man, he's a phenomenal player off the edge. You see just his get-off, kind of like when he got ready to jump in the pool when he committed. But, man, he comes off low, good pad level, plays the run very well, too. I mean, he gets into the offensive lineman shocks and shares the block pretty well. Look at him, a little array of moves there, a little push-pull. Rip pull through move. Like he has an array of moves for a young guy. So it's good.
He's been coached up.
Yeah, you can tell he's developed for a young guy. Well, reclassified now. So, man, I like him a lot, man. I think he can be a dominant force playing against the run. He can play all three downs, right? But I see him more as a buck, kind of play that strong side where Ethan Burke plays because he has some height. Okay. I thought he would carry more weight at the next level than the previous guys we've shown.
Oh, look at that. If I'm the quarterback, oh my God. Yeah, you know, all these guys are outstanding, and Texas is only going to – at this stage, they're only looking for the best of the best. I would have a hard time. The only person I think I would put over Richard Wesley is probably Xavier Griffin, the Gainesville, Georgia cat, who's also kind of a linebacker. And Texas is in a great position there, too. That recruitment's going to go well. So, Allen Clark is really killing it. There's one more guy I want to mention, Luke Wafel. And out of all of the guys that we've talked about so far, he might be pound for pound the best athlete. Because if you haven't watched this guy play basketball, you know me, Charlie. If yes. I can see skill on the basketball floor, I can see that translate in any other sport in the world, especially football. And Luke Wafel is a prime example of that. If his brother's not at State College, if he's not going to Penn State, I think Texas could be the team here. But that's going to be tough to overcome. He's got an official in June to Texas. He's got a handful of others. I know he's going to see Michigan. I know he's going to see Penn State. You know, Wafel's one that you want to make sure you stay in that recruitment because you want to build the relationship. You don't know where these coaches are going to be year to year. You don't know if he'll hit the portal, similar to his brother who was at Michigan last year. You know, you always want to keep those lines of communication open. And Luke Wafel is a bad dude. Like Texas, if they can get a couple of these edge guys that we've talked about in this cycle, they will be cooking with grease. I absolutely love that. And so Wafel's a guy that, you know, they're going to stay in touch with him. They're going to keep that relationship going. I just think it's going to be tough to top Penn State. And I think he even mentioned, you know, don't necessarily want to have to play with his brother, but a lot of times those guys do kind of match up and do that. Right, real quick, we need to pay the bills before we talk a little bit more. We got some more stuff to talk about, including defensive line and coaches on the road. But let's go to our boy Joe Cook with the Roback.
There's only one way to describe Roback: best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. With novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas, it's definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look, but the comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge. Having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers, they are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's ROBACK.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20.
Guys, I know they're not cheap, but I'm telling you right now, those Roback hoodies are unbelievable. I absolutely love them. I grabbed a couple of them. Those things are so comfortable. You got to get you one of those, man. They are. And use the promo code because, like I said, they're not cheap, but that promo code certainly helps. It takes a good little chunk off that price, and I think they're worth it. All right, let's shift a little bit to the defensive line, a little bit closer to the ball a little bit. I was also in Birmingham, Alabama last week, hanging out with a kid named Vodney Cleveland, 6'3 and a half, about 6'3, he said, 320 pounds. Yeah, quiet monster. Yes. I talked to teachers, I talked to coaches, I talked to the principal, I talked to the counselor. They all said the same thing. This kid gets it. He's so smart. He's so quiet. He does his job. He's a great classmate. He's a great teammate. He's got great parents, a great support system. He's got some football genes in his family. Uncle Don Page played edge for Auburn in the late 90s, early 2000s. And once you talk to him, he's kind of soft-spoken. He doesn't say a whole lot. But then you turn on the tape, Charlie, and it's my Lord. He's just eating up people. Now, this is a former Alabama commit. This is a kid, if Nick Saban is still the coach in Tuscaloosa, he's going to Alabama. That's just the way this is. But he actually committed to Kalen DeBoer soon after he got the job. And then he, you know, talked to his parents about it and decided to reopen his recruitment because he wanted to look around a little bit more. He wanted to see what other schools had to offer. He thought he may have did it a little bit too early just by sitting here and checking out some of his clips. You know, what do you see?
Yeah.
That play. What do you see in Vodney, and why is it that Kenny Baker has made him such a priority?
I see a straight dominant. You can put him at the zero. You can put him at the one tech, but he has some twitch to him. A guy his size, actually. His get-off, man, he has so much power and strength. But you look how he just defeats the blocker there. It's just insane. It's nothing he really can't do, honestly. I don't know how much bigger he gets. Like, he's almost got a filled-out frame even in high school. He looks like a grown man, but
yeah,
he's definitely just a baller. You put in the middle, he can take on double teams, hold the point of attack. He can play all three downs. He can get out to the quarterback, too, as we see him rush the passer here a few times, right? Look at him kind of stay low, does a lot of offensive linemen kind of get into his legs and chop him, and still makes a play. Like, you don't see that at the high school level that much. You can preach it till you're blue in the face. Most kids won't get it, but he already understands leverage, and I love the way he plays. He has the motor, too. You see him multiple times just chasing guys with the ball from the backside. Man, he just gets after it. You cannot account for a big guy with a motor like he has.
Yeah, and again, I got to double down, man. He was such a joy to hang out with. We got a lot of I bet we did a full 20-minute interview. And, usually when we talk to him, we don't usually go that long, but it was just an enjoyable conversation. He's very engaging, and he completely understands the scope of the recruiting landscape. But most people want to know, where's he going? That's the big question. And I got to tell you, I think Texas looks really good today. I think Kenny Baker, who's already been to Birmingham twice, maybe even three times to see him, He's definitely a priority. Baker was there the day before I actually arrived at Parker High School. The horns are squarely in this one. He's going to be at Texas on July 13th to the 15th for his official visit. But the school that I think Texas is going to have to fight off is the same school they're going to have to fight off for Jarelyn McCoy. That's the Florida Gators. Billy Napier and that crew is doing a great job with this recruitment. They have really – and they got a little bit more of a head start. Remember, you know, Texas didn't really jump into this thing since around January. Yeah. Florida had been in it way before then, and so they kind of had a little bit of a head start. He's going to Florida this weekend for an official visit. And again, here's something else to know. Vodney Cleveland and Jarelyn McCoy talk pretty often. They talk about Texas. They talk about Florida, and they're going to be together on that Florida official visit. And so that's something to watch. But I think with Vodney, I think he has a pretty good idea of where he's going right now.
Yeah.
When I asked him when his decision is going to be made, he said mid to late June. I said, that's right after you're official to Texas. He said, yes, sir, it is. So yeah. I think Vodney knows where he's going to go. I don't think he wants to give it away too much to yet. And we don't want to give it away too much to yet. We want to make sure that he gets his moment. But I just love where the horns stand with this kid. They're going to need at least three, maybe four defensive linemen in this cycle, especially with the haul they took over from the portal last year. Now, a couple of those portal guys are going to be there for maybe more than 1 year. But yeah, they're going to have to go. They're going to have to go at least three or four. And I think Vodney would be great. They're going to continue to push for Jamie and Winfield. Do you have any update there? Because a lot of Texas fans have been asking us about him. We know he's a top in-state defensive tackle on the big board. Also from the land of Mississippi. Also a quiet monster that just eats offensive linemen for breakfast. What's the latest there? Because, you know, he puts out the other day that he had shut down his recruitment and he's all USC. That dog's not hunting in my yard. What about you?
You know, when he put that, I texted me and him, we have a great relationship. I said, you really shut it down, little bro? Like, it's just a, you know, me talk between me and him. And he just laughed, right? He didn't say anything, just laughed. I was like, okay. To me, you laughing, you didn't give me a definite answer. You didn't say yes or no. So I feel like until signing day, you recruit Jamie and Winfield because you never know what will happen.
Charlie, you know it, man. You know it as good as anybody. Hey, we got a good question here from Sailor Joe. Something came out today, and I don't know if it's big for you. It's big for me, and it's even bigger for my 8-year-old son.
Oh, yeah.
College Football 26, we got a cover. We're ready to go. Now that we got a cover, we can start the countdown for the new college football game that comes out on EA Sports. Hey. Why wasn't Arch Manning on the cover? It says something tells me it would also have had Arch, but the decline with him and Sark sucks to see no horns on both. Well, Quinn Ewers got on the cover last year, and that was super, super cool.
Yeah.
Here's what I understand about this situation. Arch Manning and Sark had no problem going through the photo shoot. But I think Manning's team decided you're not a starting quarterback yet. You don't haven't established yourself like a lot of these other guys in this photo, in this picture. Go to work.
Right.
Worry about a cover next year or a year after that. And I think Sark really liked that too, because there's already been so much pomp and circumstance going around Arch. And we're still 3 months away.
Right.
Wait till week one. I mean, it's going to be crazy. And so I think Arch and his family were very strategic with this. I want to say that they made a deal. It's like, look, we're not going to do the cover this year. You know, he needs to go play a full season. He needs to earn the right. But in the same breath, don't be shocked if he is the cover boy for 27. And it won't be sharing a cover. It won't be like a Jeremiah Smith and a Ryan Williams this year, which I'd love to see Ryan Wingo over in that back corner, but he's going to get his this year. But that's something I learned, Sailor Joe. Don't be shocked if Arch Manning is actually on the cover for 27 by himself. How many copies of that thing are selling, Charlie?
A ton. You know, you can have the Hall of Famers edition, the regular edition. Arch by himself, he had a Hall of Famers edition with – I don't know if everybody saw the photo where you got Arch, Peyton, and Eli kind of all blended together. They're all in the quarterback, like, getting ready to throw the ball. Put Arch in front of them, have all four in the Hall of Fame edition, right? All getting ready to throw the ball. Like, I don't know. All the Mannings on the Hall of Fame edition, then Arch by himself on just the solo edition next year.
You're not just great at covering recruiting. You're a marketing guy. You're a man that wears many hats, Charlie. Yeah. I like that idea. I like that. I think we should get into more of the business of that. And so And our producer just threw something at us even better. How about an Arch Manning, Colin Simmons standing back to back? Hey, both sides of the ball.
Love it.
We'll take it. Hey, if the Horns have a big season this year, like we expect, if Arch and Colin have a big year, don't be surprised if Arch is on that cover. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Charlie, I appreciate you a ton. Thank you so much for coming on and helping me deliver the recruiting news of the day for the Texas Longhorns fans and all the interwebs. Come see us at InsideTexas.com. It really is a fun time. We've got so much stuff going up from a recruiting standpoint because official visit season is starting. It's cranking up. Charlie, you posted something yesterday about decision dates. You're posting something pretty quickly about offensive linemen.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, it's up right now.
It just went up right now. Well, we need to get this show over so people can head over to the site. We got some really good intel on John Turntime Jr., on Zayden Crimpen. And we've also, myself and Ian Boyd, have a notebook that I think will make fans really happy. So come see us over at InsideTexas.com. Again, thank you so much for joining us on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you soon.